Let's get a turn to Psalm 139 to begin our time this evening. Just want to very quickly, as you turn there, remind you of our study on the attributes of God that we've been looking at. How great is our God? Just in quick review, we've seen that God is incomprehensible. He can be truly known, but not fully known. We've seen that God is independent. He is self-existent and self-sufficient, needing no one or nothing outside of Himself. God is infinite in relation to time. He is eternal. In relation to space, He is immense. And we've seen that God is immutable. He cannot change. He's impeccable. He cannot sin. And we've considered that God is triune. He is one being whose essence is indivisible, yet three persons who are each fully God. I'd like to continue on tonight and to think about the truth that God is omni. You know, as I think about Kim and myself as grandparents, grandparents talk about their grandkids, right? So, or grandkid in our situation at this point. But, you know, as glad as I'm so glad to be here tonight. I want to let you know that. I don't want you to think anything. I want to be here tonight. But, you know, I would really also like to be in Memphis tonight. Like to see our grandson. I know Kim joins me in that. But, you know, the problem is I can only be in one place at a time. I don't have the ability to be in more than one place at a time. Sometimes when we're with Harvey, or even when we're not with Harvey, you know, sometimes I wish I could tell what he's thinking. You know how that is with a little kid? You just, you know, they try to express things. You think, I wonder what is really in his mind. What's going through his little brain right now? You wonder about that sometimes. You know, I don't have the ability to look inside of his mind and know what he's really thinking. And sometimes when we get a call or a Skype and we find out the little Harvey is sick, you know, we just wish we could make him well. You know, that he would be okay, could be healthy, but you know what? We don't have the ability to do that. But you know, we come tonight and we come praying to a God who is omni, a God who is able to do all of that that I just described, and not just for my grandson, but for 7 billion people and more. That just happens to be how many people there are right now. God does all of that. He is omni. Omni is a prefix which means all, very simply spoken. You've heard of that word omni. It's been used in a lot of different businesses. Have taken that. It was a Coliseum in Atlanta. It was a subcompact Dodge vehicle. It's a credit union, a science magazine, a chain of hotels called Omni. It's a weight loss program, an insurance group, a distributor of cheerleading gear. There's a health and fitness club at Georgia Tech called or University of Georgia. I'll get in trouble if I get the wrong one there. But on the campus, there's an IT solutions company called Omni, and that's just a few. It's a very popular name. It means all, and God is all. You know, I think in a sense we could put omni in front of any and all of the characteristics of God, and we would be right. We would be telling the truth. But there are three of them that are most often associated with this prefix. And just to get us started here in Psalm 139, I'm just going to read three verses, verse 1, verse 7, and verse 14. Verse 1 of Psalm 139, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. Verse 7, Where can I go from Your Spirit, or where can I flee from Your presence? In verse 14, I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well. Our God is omni. And when we think of that, we think particularly of the fact that He is omnipresent, He is omniscient, and He is omnipotent. And we'd like to start thinking about that a little bit tonight in the time that we have. First of all, that God is omnipresent. And in our passage here in Psalm 139, we would see that beginning in verse 7, where David, writing by the Spirit of God, says, Where can I go from Your Spirit? We've already seen that the Spirit of God is God. We've seen that as we've discussed and researched His triunity? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Our God is omnipresent. He is all present. You may think, well, you don't really need to define the word present for us, Mark. We kind of know what that means. But let me do it anyway, just to kind of bring our attention to the definition. To be present means to be in a specified or understood place. It speaks of location. And we see that our God, our great God, is present in all places. He is everywhere present. God is here. God is outside of this building. God is in Memphis. God is in Antarctica. God is in heaven. God is everywhere. He is always everywhere at the same time. That is our God. And as we spoke of, when we thought of Him in His infinitude as relates to space, we were reminded, as we're reminded here, that it's not part of God over here, and part of God over here, and part of God in this room, and part of God outside, and part of God in Memphis, and part of God in here and there. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about all of God in His essence in every location. At the same time, always. That is the greatness of our God. Listen to what Jeremiah says, or what the Lord says through Jeremiah in Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24. In fact, turn there with me, if you will. Let's do that. We've just got a couple of verses here, so let's look quickly at these, and you may want to make a notation of them for your own reference, and as you study this and have opportunities to discuss it with others, believers and unbelievers. Jeremiah 23, look down at the 23rd verse, 23:23 here in Jeremiah. He's speaking about false prophets here and some of the false things they're saying, and God is rebuking them. And he says in verse 23, "Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, says the Lord?" Our God is everywhere. As the psalmist said in Psalm 139, and as the Lord reminds Jeremiah and the people of God in Judah and us today, tonight, He is not only a God near, He's also a God far away. And He's not only a God far away, He's a God here. And He's not only the God of the valleys, He's the God of the mountains. He's not only the God of earth, He's the God of heaven. He is God who is everywhere at the same time, always. In Proverbs 15:3, we read that the eyes of the Lord are in every place. How great is our God? Our God is great. Our God is omnipresent. Just to make a few comments about some potential difficulties and misunderstandings that could come with that. Some people would say, oh, well, that means that God is in everything. God is in that tree. And if God is in everything and God is everywhere, then everything must be God. And that is what is known as pantheism. A pan is another prefix that means all. And theism, of course, comes from the Greek word theos, which is translated God. Pantheism teaches that all is God, that there's no personal God, but rather that everything is a part of God and God is in all. But the truth is that our God is the Creator and He is separate from and superior to His creation. God is everywhere. And in a sense, yes, He is in that tree. He is in everything because He is everywhere. But He is not in everything in the sense of being one with His creation. No, our God is above creation. Our God is the Creator. Samuel Storms wrote in his article, The Grandeur of God, although God is wholly present throughout all things, yet He is distinct from all things. The universe is the creation of God, and thus, in respect to essence, no part of Him. So although all things are permeated and sustained by God, God is not all things. Listen to Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17. For by Him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Our God is a personal God. Our God is a creator God. Our God is a sustainer God. Our God is everywhere at the same time, but our God is not one with creation. No, He is superior to creation. How thankful we are. Some might say, well, if God is where sin is, then God, won't He be defiled by that sin? John MacArthur had a good illustration concerning why that's not so. And he says, think about a ray of sun, a sunbeam, shining down and striking a pile of dirty, nasty, stinking garbage. And is that sunbeam in any way defiled by striking that garbage? Of course not. Of course not. And our God is holy. And just as the Lord Jesus was able to walk among sinners and be the friend of sinners and yet never be defiled because of His perfect holiness, God is in no way defiled by sin, even though He is where sin is, for He is everywhere. Some might say, well, if God is everywhere, why does it seem to be such a big deal in the Bible and among Christians that God is with us? Well, that's kind of an obvious statement. You know, I mean, if God is everywhere, then what's the big deal about Emmanuel, God with us, if He's already everywhere? Well, that's where we need to understand that God is everywhere in His essence. But He is only in certain places relationally. Relationally, does that make sense? He is everywhere. But He's in a different way in a believer than in an unbeliever. He's in a different sense in heaven than He is on earth. But yet He is everywhere. But when it comes to relationally speaking, our God is what we might say especially present. Especially present with His people. We sometimes pray, Lord, be with us. And I heard a brother one time, he kind of got up to preach and he rebuked anybody that was praying, God be with us. He said, God's already with you. You don't have to pray that God will be with you. And there's a sense in which that's true, but there is also the sense in which it is right to pray, God be with us in that special way. Lord, we want to know Your presence. We want to see Your presence manifested. It's not that He's not there. In His essence, He is here. But you know, He's also here tonight among us in a relational sense because we are His people gathered in His name. And that's some of the blessings that come from the reality that God is omnipresent, that He not only can be everywhere at the same time, all the time, but He is everywhere at the same time, all the time. And He can also be everywhere at the same time, all the time, relationally. He can be. Think about when you're facing temptation. Isn't it a blessing to know the reality of God's omnipresence? Now, it can come in two ways. One, there's that conviction. I'm facing temptation. Uh-oh. God is here. I better straighten up. Because He's right here with me. And then there's also that sense of comfort. Oh, God is with me. He's here not to leave me on my own to say, hey, good luck, you fight that temptation and I'm right here watching, and if you don't do it right, you're going to hear from me. Rather, He's there to help us. What an encouragement when we're facing temptation to realize He's right here with me right now to help me. What a blessing. What a blessing. I think of Hebrews 13:5, and it seems that the readers, the recipients of this epistle were being, among other things, tempted to focus on the temporal, on the temporary, and the material things, and to be covetous. And we're reading Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be with you." Now, He can say that to every believer. When we leave here tonight, we're going to scatter in different directions. And even those of us who go down the same highway initially, we're going to end up in different buildings, most of us, in different homes, in different apartments. We're going to be in different places. And yet, the Lord Jesus can say that to every one of us, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. And when you're facing temptation, He's right there with you. And when you're in trouble, whatever kind of trouble you may face, remember Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Not just a help in trouble, but a very present help. He's right there where you are. The word very means extremely, extraordinarily present. He's right there with you. And when we meet together like we are meeting tonight, like we will Sunday morning to remember the Lord Jesus, when two of us may get together for lunch tomorrow, we may meet on the street, and if we're meeting in the name of the Lord Jesus, we have the promise of Matthew 18:20. "For where two or three are gathered together in My name, I am there in the midst of them." Now, He can say that to this assembly. And there's a lot of local churches in the Eastern time zone that are having prayer meeting right now. And He can say to every one of them, I'm right in the middle. I'm right in the center of your prayer meeting. And when you get together with a saint tomorrow, and y'all are together focusing on the Lord Jesus, gathered in His name, then He can be right with you and right with this other group and right over there with them. He can do it all, and He is. One final thing as we close here in Matthew 28. Maybe just look up. We'll close looking at this promise here in the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, the last two verses of Matthew's gospel account. Because it's an encouragement to know that He is ever present, always present with me when I am witnessing. And wow, don't we need Him when we're seeking to share the gospel and live the gospel. Matthew chapter 28. Did I say 28? Okay, I'm in the right. 28. All right, look there at verse 19. The command is given, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." That's a big responsibility. That's a big challenge right there. We read over it quickly because we've heard it so many times. But that's serious. And Peter and James and John aren't around to carry this out anymore. It's been left in our hands. It's a big responsibility. But we don't do it alone. Because He says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. I'm with you, He says. Whenever you're out sharing the gospel, whenever you're out living the gospel, whenever you're out speaking of the Lord Jesus, He's right there with you. He's ever present. And we don't need to worry, well, maybe I shouldn't witness because, you know, Brother Larry might be witnessing and he needs the Lord with him over there, so I better not witness right now. We don't have to worry about that. He'd be with all of us. We can all go out and witness. And He'd be with every one of us. Our God is omnipresent. He's all present. Everywhere present. All the time. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the truths of Your Word concerning who You are. We thank You that they not only thrill our souls with Your greatness, but Father, they're also so practical in our lives. And we pray that we would take what we've reflected on briefly about You tonight, that You are omnipresent. You're always present. And Father, we claim that. Help us to understand it better, to accept it by faith, and to go forth from this place rejoicing because we know that you are with us in every circumstance. And we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. 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 The Lord bless you. He's with you.